Hi, I'm Anna Harris, and this is the Defined by God podcast, a support resource for Christians looking for hope and healing from trauma and adversity. Join us as we interview experts, hear stories of healing from real people, and discuss and define common types of trauma, how it impacts us, and the latest and best strategies for healing and thriving. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us today. I have Diana Irahita here with me today.
Hello.
And we are going to be talking about a very important topic. And it's really about when forgiveness teachings can be harmful. And you might think, oh, forgiveness teachings, you know, it's almost like a sacred cow in some Christian circles. Like, oh, we have to forgive. And of course, we do forgive. But there are times that teachings about forgiveness and basically the customs, the way that we do it in Christian circles can actually be unhealthy and harmful to people. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Yeah. And let me just kind of introduce the topic a little bit more. So a lot of people feel that, especially based on, for example, Matthew 18, where Peter came to Jesus and he said, how many times do I have to forgive someone? As many as seven times? And Jesus said, no, actually, it's seven times 70, or some translations say 70 times 70. And so that scripture has been used to give the idea that as Christians, we have to basically allow people to do things to us, and we just keep forgiving over and over and over and over, maybe 140 times, or maybe even 70. I'm not even going to do that math, but have you, Diana, have you heard that kind of idea in the churches that you've been part of in the past?
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like teachings on forgiveness are, I hear that so often at church, you know, or even just like on social media, if you follow different ministries, it's something that's very focused on. Mm-hmm. And it made me not a complete picture, I would say.
Of right. Exactly. Yeah. I feel like a lot of times it's taken out of context. And a lot of times, I think people stay in harmful or abusive situations for a really long time because of this idea that, well, if I'm a Christian, I can't speak up about something. I just have to forgive and forgive and forgive. But I don't think that's what Jesus is calling us to at all. In Luke chapter 17, let me just get that pulled up real quick on my phone here. Luke 17, 3 and 4. So this is Jesus talking, and he says, so watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day and seven times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. So basically, I think the issue is that step of, and they repent, that's been left out of a lot of teachings about forgiveness. A lot of people would say, no, we don't have to wait until someone repents to forgive them. That keeps people just staying. And, you know, if there's something wrong in a relationship or a church, you know, the idea is, well, I just need to forgive. Like, I don't want to be bitter. But based on this, what Jesus said, he's saying, if they sin against you, first of all, rebuke them. which means speak up about it.
Yeah.
We don't hear a lot of sermons about that. Mm-hmm. Unless sometimes it's an authority person rebuking, you know, somebody under them or something, you know. But and then the second thing is that Jesus said is, if they repent, forgive them, you know. And so in repent, I talk about this in the blog that I wrote recently, which you can find, let me put that up, at definedbygod.com. Just go there and look at the blogs, and it's called When Forgiveness Teaching is Harmful. Yes. But anyway, so what happens is in Matthew 18, where Peter came to Jesus and said, you know, how many times must I forgive someone? And Jesus said, you know, he says as many as seven times. And Jesus says, no, seven times 70. The part that we don't realize is that in Jewish thinking and Jewish teaching about forgiveness at that time and still today is that there's a whole step to forgiveness. There's a whole process to forgiveness. So like, that's what Peter would have had as his frame of reference. That's what he would know. And this is what it looks like. And it's different than what we think about it. So in Jewish teaching, if someone harms another person, then the one who did the harm, it is their responsibility to go to the victim that they hurt and ask for forgiveness. And only the person who was hurt can offer the forgiveness. And the person who was hurt can decide or not to forgive on the first, second, or third time that the person asks for forgiveness. And they decide based on, do I think this person has really repented, which means they've changed what they're doing, like they're not doing it anymore. Mm-hmm. And have they attempted to make amends? So for example, if money was stolen or something, are they trying to pay that back? And so based on those things, and then also they have to come to the victim to ask for forgiveness. So right. Based on those things, the victim can choose or not to forgive the person.
Right.
So, yeah. So it's a whole thing.
I was going to say, that's one thing that I find like revolutionary for me is looking at, I do believe scripture applies for today, absolutely. But I do also believe looking at the original context, the original culture, we have to remember who, like, what culture was Jesus speaking into? And yeah, like all of those things, they make a difference in our understanding of scripture.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Another one that I can think of is when Jesus says to turn the other cheek. I don't believe by any means that he means keep letting somebody slap you over and over.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, and we get that idea sometimes as Christians, because there's a lot of teaching about lay your life down, you know, I have no rights, that, you know, that kind of thing as Christians. And, but really, I think in some ways, the way we've done it in Christian culture, the way we think about forgiveness, it's almost cheapened forgiveness. Because it's like, you know, someone does something, I've got to forgive. You know, it's just assumed I have to forgive. And I've seen even sometimes when like a family has been really wronged, like a family member's been murdered, for example. Sometimes you see the family, like they come on TV and they forgive the person who did it like right away. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I think, have they really even had a chance to process this? Like, do they know what they're saying, or is it, it's just words, you know? And it seems like a really spiritual thing to do, loving
a noble thing to do, right?
Yeah, like a noble thing to do. It does seem like that. But if you haven't really even had a chance to think about it or process it, like, what is the real worth and value of it?
Right.
So for me, really processing it and choosing, okay, has this person repented? Have they stopped doing what they were doing? Mm-hmm. Have they asked me for forgiveness? Are they attempting to make amends if, you know, if possible? Then I, as the victim, I can choose to give my forgiveness.
Right.
Like, that is just, there's value in that. But
yeah. And that lessens the chance of feeling rewounded, because when you're already hurting and you've already been deeply wounded and people are trying to like force you or rush you into forgiving, you feel like what happened to you, it doesn't matter. You know,
yeah.
That the forgiveness to this person who hurt you deeply is more important than your healing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And you can see why people who've been really traumatized, whether it's by a church or relationship or whatever it is, an event in their life, they often will not want to go to a church because they feel like, oh, I'm going to be kind of forced to forgive before I've even had any healing, you know? Yeah. So, which that's sad.
Yeah. I think another thing too is there's this expectation when it comes to forgiveness that you're going to still be in relationship with the person in some way or form.
Yeah.
Like it's like almost a given that if you forgive someone for hurting you, that automatically means you have to stay their friend or stay in a relationship with them, even if it was like something very serious that they did. So I think there's this confusion that restoration and forgiveness are the same. Like they're automatically stuck together. And that's not the case.
Right. Yeah. And it's true. We don't have to stay in relationship with someone who is still continuing to be abusive. And that includes a church, if that's where, you know, the abuse is coming from. So a lot of times I think people, if you speak up about something, then people will often say, well, you're just bitter. You know, you're an angry, bitter person. And it's like, no, there's a situation that's not good, not right, that needs to be brought out into the open. And that doesn't mean that somebody's bitter or angry or anything like that. So have you in the past, have you heard or felt controlled by like a forgiveness idea of I've just got to forgive?
Just give me one moment.
Okay.
Okay. So yes, I would say that I have been affected by the teaching because a little bit of my backstory. I grew up in church basically, you know, since I was 13. I got saved. And before I would consider myself saved, I went to Catholic church. And then when I consider my relationship with Jesus started at 13, from there, you know, I've been very immersed in the church, you know, in the culture and the teachings. And so I would say it's something that was very ingrained in me that as a Christian, you have to forgive, you know, that it was like one of the top things that like if you didn't forgive that God's not going to forgive you, and you know you're being unloving and you're being bitter and things like that. So there was no balance to that message. You don't ever hear any, well, I don't want to say never because I'm sure there's people who maybe do a good job at it, but for the most part, at least for me, I never really heard any balance to the message. It was very focused on you forgive, you have grace, you have mercy. You know, if God forgives you for what you did, who are you not to forgive others for what they do? And there's no balance to that of like, if somebody is repeatedly hurting you over and over and over again, that you are under no obligation to maintain relationship with that person. And it's almost like if you don't maintain relationship with that person, then that's proof that you are being bitter or unforgiving. Yeah. And it's just, it to me, it just totally goes against the heart and character of God. Because if I always hear we interpret scripture with scripture, right? So if you look at the whole of the Bible and if you look at God's heart, you will see consistently that he is against oppression, that he's against injustice. And when somebody's in a situation where they're being like in a pattern consistently abused over and over again, whether that's verbal, emotional, physical, spiritual, and their safety is thrown out the window in the name of forgiveness, and that flies in the face of the heart of God, in my opinion.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And for people that didn't see it, so there's also, we did an interview with you where you gave your whole story. Mm-hmm. It's called When the Abuser is Both Your Husband and Pastor, I believe is what we called it. So people can look back and see that. But just to give a little brief, I guess, background of that, you were for several years in a really toxic spiritual environment.
Right.
Yeah. Where this kind of thing definitely would have been held over your head. Well, you can't leave this toxic environment because you just need to forgive.
Right. Absolutely. I would say I've really done a lot of reflection, like, you know, why did I stay as long as I did? Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was directly a lot of the teachings that I had taken to heart with no balance to them. You know, it was like, it's like a half of a circle where, you know, you can't have a circle without both halves. And so we pound on this part in the church, but we don't give the full picture of what forgiveness is. And so it definitely played a role in me staying in a bad situation for way longer. Because we would see red flags. Cause I was married to the guy who led this toxic ministry, and we would see him have blow ups and anger and just doing things that were very dangerous sometimes, to be honest. And in the name of grace and forgiveness and giving people a second chance, a third chance, you know, we stayed longer than it. Now, being who I am now, there's no way, because I've learned a lot of important lessons. But
yeah,
I think both of our hearts is that people wouldn't have to go through that, you know, to learn the lessons we've learned.
Exactly. Like if you can see this early enough, mm-hmm. then you won't, you know, maybe be duped by it as long as you know, we have in the past. So, yeah. And another thing I've noticed in some church cultures is if you even bring up something negative about someone, there's the idea that, oh, we can't even talk about that, you know, because if you talk about something, then that's because you're bitter and you're, you know, unforgiving. And but really sometimes we need to be able to talk about something to process it ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's like, let's be real and, like, you know, have the ability to be real with each other. And I remember years ago when I first started teaching about boundaries in relationships. So when I was pastoring, I started teaching about healthy boundaries because of this very type of thing where people feel like I've got to stay in a relationship with someone who is still abusing me. And I remember this one person, for example, just like coming to me in tears, like, really, I don't have to just let this person keep on hurting me. I can put some boundaries there and not do everything they're telling me to. And this was like an adult parent, adult child kind of thing where it was very toxic, but they felt I've still got to, you know, let them keep saying mean things to me because I'm a Christian and I have to forgive. But it brought them so much healing and freedom when they learned that they could have some healthy boundaries and still be honorable to their adult parent, but not have to allow that person to continue to hurt them. So
that's another one, like honor your mother and father. And that's twisted and used, you know, in toxic relationships with parents where you, people are made to feel like they have to stay in this relationship with this parent that's continually to hurt them in very deep ways, you know. And that's not, if we look at the whole of scripture and the heart of Jesus, I just don't see Jesus saying, yes, stay in the situation, regardless if it's with a parent, a spouse, a friend, family member of any kind. Yeah, stay in this relationship where you're getting hurt over and over. I just don't see Jesus saying that.
No, it's not the heart of Jesus. And yet we see it preached over still today, you know. And like the one that I saw recently that kind of inspired me to write the blog post and to talk about it was someone saying, they were preaching, and this was on, you know, social media. If you've left a church because of hurt, because the church hurt you, then that means that you have a problem with people and you can't forgive. And I was so surprised to hear it. I was like, really? This is still being, you know, still being taught. And because first of all, it's using the word hurt rather than abuse. And a lot of times in a spiritual situation like that, sometimes it can be something that we would call a hurt, but there's also times that there is abuse going on. And unfortunately, a lot of different types of abuse can happen in a church. It can be spiritual abuse, can even be sexual abuse. And we know because things are being exposed, you know, all the time. And so, but when this person said that, I thought that could make someone feel like even when there's bad things going on, whether I've been hurt by the church or I've been hurt by a person, I can't really say anything about it because that would mean I can't forgive and I've got a problem with people. You know, like that's the idea that that teaching would give to somebody. And I just thought that really needs to be corrected because the other thing that was said in that particular teaching was like the church is going to hurt you. Like it's just inevitable. It's going to happen. And so I thought, you know, that could really make someone feel very trapped. Like, for example, the church is going to hurt you, but you can't leave it because if you leave it, it's your problem. You can't forgive people. And, but the thing is like, we are independent people that God has created and we deserve to be able to make sure that wherever we are going is safe and healthy and not toxic to us, you know?
I think that's a huge distinction that needs to be made. You know, it just reminds me of like kind of parallels some marriage teaching too, as far as like every marriage is hard. Every marriage goes through hard times, but there's no distinction of what's hard. We need to explain what you mean by hard, because somebody who's being abused is going to feel like their marriage is hard.
Yes.
But it's not just hard. It's abusive.
Yes.
And so we need to, If we're going to bring these kind of teachings saying, if you've been hurt, we need to define, what do you mean by hurt? Are we just talking about, somebody didn't invite me to sit at their table or something? Or are we talking about somebody who was taken advantage of by maybe a leader, of power situations. We need to be clear, and that, and unfortunately, it's not. A lot of times, right, there is no caveat at all.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, the preponderance of teachings that talk about the victim forgiving, like, there's tons of them. Like, you could do a Google search and you could find so many teachings about that we need to forgive when we've been hurt or harmed. But I don't find, like, I actually searched for this the other day. There's so few teachings about if you've done the hurting that you should go and you should
make it
first right. Stop what you were doing and then ask for forgiveness. You know, we don't see any, it's just like this assumed thing, you know? And the thing is, like, it creates an environment where an abuser, I mean, it's a perfect environment for them because they can just keep doing whatever they want and assume, well, I'm going to be forgiven because this is a Christian environment. You know?
Yeah. And the sad reality is people who have those abusive mindsets are attracted to faith communities because they know that in faith communities, there is that big push for focus on forgiveness and grace. But mm-hmm. a situation that comes to mind in the Bible is when David abused his power with Bathsheba and he saw her, you know, could Bathsheba really say no to the king? You know,
right.
The king is summoning you. You don't have a choice. You have to come.
Right.
So he abused his power to call Bathsheba, tried to cover up his abuse of power with murder. And right. Did the Lord say, Bathsheba, you were wrong for that? You know, when Nathan confronted David, the onus, I guess, or the weight of responsibility was not on the sheep. It was on the shepherd. It was on right. David. It was yeah. on the king. So, but it's twisted and it's kind of like somehow gotten the other way. Where when you're hurt, when somebody is hurting you, whether it's in a marriage or in a church situation, the weight of responsibility has been shifted on the person who's being hurt,
yes.
being wounded, you know?
Right. Yeah. That's a really good way to put that weight of responsibility. And like, it's so strange. I don't know why it's become that way where like it puts all responsibility on the victim, on the person being hurt. And it should not be that way. And I really feel like certain scriptures have been taken out of context and used to really control people, you know, and keep them in relationships that are not good, keep them, you know, in a church situation that maybe is not the best for them. And it's sad because I don't think that's the heart of Jesus at all.
Right. And if Jesus is our model, you know, when we look at how he interacted with the people of the day, his strongest like rebukes and his strongest anger was towards the Pharisees, the leaders right. of the, you know, religious world at the time. And the Pharisees put a big focus on keeping the law, right? But treating people right, they didn't do that. They right. to them, as long as they were checking the box of I tithe, I did this, I did that, I'm keeping the laws, I'm not working on the Sabbath, that is what made them righteous. But forget how we treat people, you know, they're just. And so Jesus was like, hey, you don't forget to do all these laws, but what about justice, mercy, and faith? What about how you treat people? You right. know, and if people in the church are getting the message that they can be treated like dirt and it's okay, and they just have to keep forgiving, that's totally the opposite of what Jesus intended.
Exactly. Exactly. And the thing is that when someone is being hurt over and over again, even when it might seem like it's not a huge thing, it's still very mentally and emotionally, it can be very hurtful. You know, we call it death by 1,000 paper cuts, you know, yes. because one time It's like, okay, I can get over that. I can heal from that. But over and over and over and over, it can be very detrimental to someone's mental and emotional health.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think there's a good book by Leslie Vernick. You might have read it, called The Emotionally Destructive Marriage. Mm-hmm. And in there, she does talk about where is that line between hard and destructive, so that people can, you know, kind of begin to see that. And when is something really, really harmful to somebody? Right.
And another good resource is Redeeming Power by Diane Langberg. And I like that one too. I mean, you can glean from it for marriage, but mainly I think it's good for people who are in a church that they feel like is this abusive? Is it okay to leave kind of thing? I think it really clarifies a lot for spiritual abuse as well, mm-hmm. which forgiveness, the topic that we're on, unfortunately is used a lot in spiritual abuse.
Yeah.
To further the harm.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, I hope this is helpful for people to see that, you know, we don't have to take all the responsibility. Like if we've been hurt or harmed, we don't have to take all the responsibility of doing all the work and all the forgiveness for it. The person doing the harming, doing the wrong thing, they have responsibility as well. And that's what's surprising in, like, if you just look through a lot of teaching, it's so surprising that the weight of how much is taught, how much is said, it goes so much onto the victim. And there's not nearly enough emphasis on what if you're the person doing the wrongdoing, what is your responsibility? And there's just very little teaching about that. So,
absolutely. And I also just wanted to reaffirm as well and speak into, because you mentioned earlier that it's kind of made to seem that if you talk about it, that you're wrong, you shouldn't talk about it. Everything has to be hush hush. Right. Well, the Bible says to expose wicked deeds of darkness. And so when there's something bad and evil and wicked going on, which abuse is, mm-hmm. you're not wrong, you're not unforgiving, and you're not bitter for bringing it to the light. In fact, you're probably helping other people by stopping the abuse.
Yes. So
exactly. Other people aren't, you know, affected.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because when something is exposed, then other people will know about it and they can avoid it as well. There's even a scripture where Paul, I forget where it is right now, but Paul says, avoid this person. He did me a great wrong. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if we put that into our today's context, we would say, oops. Okay, there we are. If we put that into today's context of how we think, it would be, oh, Paul, you shouldn't bring that up. Don't talk negatively about that person. Handle that in private and forgive him, you know, but
right.
He didn't. He exposed it to help other people avoid being wronged by that same person.
Yeah, we have to come to the acceptance, I guess, and the reality as it is that there are wolves in sheep's clothing in the church, you know, that there are people who don't think twice about taking advantage of others. And, you know, we want to believe the best about people, and that's not a bad thing, but we do have to pay attention to patterns. So if somebody is in a pattern where they're doing the same thing over and over, there's nothing wrong with exposing a wolf from hurting other sheep.
Yeah. And the other thing is, if someone is in a pattern of abusive behavior, by exposing them, we're giving them the opportunity to repent. Because if we don't, mm-hmm. we're just allowing them, you know, to continue in that cycle. But when we stand up and say, no, what you're doing is wrong, then perhaps it exposes it enough where they can get some help, or they have the opportunity to repent before God, and to, you know, come to unity, that's better for their spiritual health as well.
That is so true. Yeah, that's something to think about as well. Maybe they've just never had anyone speak truth to the situation and, hey, what you're doing is wrong. And if they're stuck in that cycle of self-deception and nobody speaks into it, how can they ever have an opportunity to truly repent and get
right.
So.
Right. Yeah. So. Okay. Well, I think we'll just start to close here, and let's just pray though. I'll start and then you can come in, and let's just pray over people watching that might be, you know, maybe somebody's still in that mindset or atmosphere where they're just expected to continue to forgive and forgive, even though they're not in a good situation. So, okay. Well, Father, we just thank you so much for your truth. And Father, we just lift up every person that is listening to this podcast or watching the video. And Father, we just thank you for wisdom. Lord, we ask you to give each person wisdom about the particular situation that they're in. Open their eyes to your truth, that they don't have to remain in abusive situations. And Father, I just pray for your comfort, for your love. And Father, we just pray for freedom. And Father, we just speak truth over every person, and that they would be, just understand that it's not you that's placing all the burden on them, that they do not have to stay in bad situations. And Father, I pray for wisdom on how to get out of any situation that they're in. I pray for their hearts. Lord, I pray that you will bring healing to the hearts of people that have been hurt, and that whether it's been by church leaders or relationships or a boss in an employer, whatever it is, Lord, I pray for healing. I pray that when the time is right and when you're leading them, that they would be able to walk in forgiveness, offer forgiveness. But I pray, Father, for your wisdom in every situation. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you did come to set the captives free, Lord God. And that includes freedom from abuse, Lord, freedom from twisted scriptures, freedom from things that are not of you, Lord God. And so anybody who's listening, Lord, we just declare freedom over them, that they will feel that weight just lifted from their shoulders, Lord God. Because your burden is easy and light. Your yoke is easy and light. It's not heavy. It's not burdensome. And you came to set every captive free, Lord. Your heart is for the oppressed and for those who are hurting and wounded. Your word says you are close to the brokenhearted. So you are for them and not against them. And like Anna said, we pray that in your timing, in the right time, Lord, that they will be able to walk out into freedom. In Jesus' name.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. So, well, thank you for everyone for watching. And again, you can find show notes at definedbygod.com/episode 27, or if you want to share it with anybody. And thank you, Diana, for coming on today and chatting with me. And we'll be doing some more of these about with different topics. And so I appreciate it. I appreciate your time and your input.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed that.
And I forgot to mention, people can find you at on your Facebook page, Equipped and Free.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. We'll put a link to that on the show notes too. So definedbygod.com/episode 27, and you'll be able to find the link to Diana's Facebook page, and also to the other podcast episode that we did with her, where she gave more of her story there. So you'll find it there. Well, thank you everybody for listening. Thank you for being here. And until next time, have a wonderful week. Thank you so much for joining us for the Defined by God podcast. If you'd like more information, please visit our website at definedbygod.com and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and email list.